Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
By the way, eating the same breakfast, I remember there's a season of just eating oatmeal because my doctor said I had cholesterol issues. So he's like, eat oatmeal. I got so sick of oatmeal. But it was the same thing all the time. It was like this rut that I was stuck in. Same way to work, get to my desk, do the same thing, go home, and then repeat it all over again. Please raise your hand if you can relate to that. And anybody can relate. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right? It's almost like you're on this treadmill, right? And you're just walking on this treadmill and you're sweating. So you know you're getting some work done, right? And the time is expiring on the clock, but it feels like you're not going anywhere. It's like I'm putting the work in and I'm doing this thing, but I feel like I am not going anywhere. I'm stuck in the same spot. And I wonder if sometimes your relationship with God, like mine, is like that as well. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. And it feels like I'm not growing. Like I'm stuck in the same spot that I have been for the last year, 2 years, 10 years. It feels like I'm not moving forward at all. And it feels like I'm putting the work in. I'm on the treadmill. I'm sweating a little bit. I see the time expiring. Maybe even in my life, I see years passing by, right? Amen to that. See that happening. I'm getting older. But why am I not growing in these certain areas? And I would even say this. There are some sins that have stuck with us for a long time that we would say, man, I am frustrated. I hate these things. They creep back into my life all the time. Why in the world does it feel like I'm stuck in a rut in that same exact spot? And the question, I think more importantly for us tonight, is what do I do if that is me? What do I do if what you just said, Jeff, if that's me, where do I go from here? And I think Paul will give us that word tonight. I believe the Lord will give us that word tonight. And I think we've been in this series about the Holy Spirit. Who is that? I'm not asking, but I'll tell you. Who is the Holy Spirit, right? That's the question that we've been asking. We've been there for a little while, and Pastor Bill has been hitting on different very aspects of who he is and what he does. And I just want to tell you, just kind of jump to the end. That's our answer, right? When we get stuck in a rut, we have only to look to the Holy Spirit. When we get stuck in sin and the perpetual sin over and over again, we have only to look to the Holy Spirit. I want to more clearly define what that looks like tonight, because I'm thinking, I don't know any of you, well, I know some of you personally, I don't know all of you personally, but I'm thinking at some point this is going to happen to you. Or maybe it already has, and maybe tonight, you're here tonight, and you would say, yes, that's me, I'm stuck. And I believe in Galatians, which is where we're going to look tonight. Galatians chapter 5, we get a kind of a sneak peek picture of how do I get out of this rut? How do I get out of this place that I don't want to be? My intentions are good, my heart is good towards the Lord, but I'm stuck. And so in Galatians chapter 5, if you just want to flip there, you can do that right now. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. But something that is super important before we even get to Galatians chapter 5, because I know not all of us have been here for the teachings on the Holy Spirit, and I know Pastor Bill's covered some things, but I think something that's so important for us to lie down, other than just to say, go to the Holy Spirit, is we need to just very clearly see a couple things when we talk about walking with the Spirit. What do we mean by that? Take a look at this. One of the primary roles, responsibilities, jobs of the Holy Spirit is to change the Christian's life. It is the Holy Spirit's role to conform us into the image of Christ. Let me say that one more time because I know there's a loud noise out there and there's going to be lots of those. So stay tracking with me. One of the main roles of the Holy Spirit, why we even have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is that he is conforming us into the image of Christ. Let me say it again. He is conforming us. He is taking the insides of us, our actions and our attitudes, and he's conforming us into the image of Christ. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to produce godly attributes within us. So when we say, catch it, when we say, I'm stuck in this rut, I keep doing the things I don't want to do, then we have to say, well, what am I doing with the Holy Spirit? I believe he is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. And there cannot be a weakness on his part. He is not insufficient. In other words, he is absolutely sufficient if he is God and he is perfect. And I believe that he wants to change me. So if there is not change happening, then the question has to be, well, what's going on with me, right? A question that we all must ask at times. That's the first thing, that the role of the Holy Spirit is to change us, to bring truth into our lives. The second thing, now the question you may be, and maybe you already know the answer to this if you were here last week, but where is this Holy Spirit guy? Where is the third person of the Trinity? And maybe he's so far away that he can't really affect me. That's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. He's so far away, he doesn't have any connection with me at all. And if he was just closer, maybe we'd get some things done, right? Maybe there would be some change in my life. Maybe I wouldn't struggle with the same thing. But wait a minute. Ephesians 1:13 says this. In him, you also trusted. That's in Jesus. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were, now listen to this, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That's Ephesians 1:13. You don't turn there, I'll just write it down. I would put it up on the board if we had one, but we don't have one, so just stay with me on that. But listen to what he says. When you believed in Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sealed you in as a guarantee of what's gonna happen to you in the future. John 14:16 says this, and I will pray, this is Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now catch this, but you know him, the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you and will be what? In you. Okay, whoa, wait a minute. So I'm stuck in a rut, I'm not growing, and it's not because the role of the Holy Spirit is somehow ineffective in my life, because we know that he's perfect, we know that he's God, and we know that he works to bring about things in change in my life to become more like Christ. So that can't be it. So number two, maybe he's so far away. No. When you accepted Christ, in that moment, the Spirit dwells in you. Dwells with you and will be in you. Now, as we look at Galatians chapter 5, I believe right away he's going to hit this right on the head for us. This is what he's going to say in not so many words. A life filled with the Holy Spirit will be a life that will stand up for God, that will stand up to the flesh, that will stand up to sin. A life lived with the Spirit will be a life that will stand up to sin. If we are finding ourselves weak in the faith, I believe Paul's got something for us. Now, Paul's writing to, probably as we look at Galatians chapter 5, kind of to set the context for that, if you'll allow me to do that, stay with me, setting the context of why he's writing what he's writing. There's a group of people that have said, listen, Paul, all we need is the law. And you come talking about this Holy Spirit stuff, right? And you keep saying that we have freedom in the Spirit. Freedom in the Spirit. Well, Paul, I already know how this is going to end, they would tell him, right? There's no parameters. We need law. You need to lay the law down for them. If you just say freedom in the Spirit, you have freedom in the Spirit, then we're going to run into some trouble, because people are just going to go do what they want and say, well, I have freedom in the Spirit, right? Let's get back to the law, Paul. Let's lay down the law. And Paul is actually going to say, whoa, wait a minute. Actually, in your law, Jews, there is no power. It's just a set of rules and regulations, but there's no power for change. In other words, people will read the law and they'll just disobey the law. Kind of like sometimes we do, right? We see the law, we disobey the law, right? And so he's saying there's no power in that. But if you want power, if you want true power, then live a life according to the Spirit. Live a life in the Spirit. And the Spirit will not only just inform you of the law of God's heart, but will also empower you to follow God's heart. Let me say that again. The Spirit not only informs you of God's heart, but will also empower you to do the same thing. And here's the cool thing that we just saw, that's his job. The third person of the Trinity says, I want to form you and shape you, and he is in you. And so when the people came to him and said, listen, the law is going to be so much better because we can see it clearly laid out, he's saying, no,
There's no power in the law. The power is in the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And so look what he says here in verse 16, chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is what Paul says to them. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's read that one more time, just so we can say, this is the word of God. I believe it absolutely with all my heart. So then what it says is, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We have been given this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, so that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. His presence with us has not always been there. Let me say that again. The presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you has not always been there. There was a time, Ephesians 2:3, we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, according to Ephesians 2:3. At one point, you didn't know that the Spirit was dwelling in you, because he wasn't. And then when you accepted Christ, all of a sudden, the Spirit now dwells within you, and now you have power in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. It wasn't always that way. Do you remember the time it wasn't? Can any of you think back to that season of life where sin came and you had no answer for it? Some of it you couldn't even identify. You just thought, well, this is what everybody does. This is life. But I feel the weight on my soul of that sin. And then something happened, right? You transitioned from death to life, and all of a sudden, now those things that once were like, I don't know why I feel this way, now you felt like, I can identify that as what we call sin. And even before you'd read through the whole entire Bible or knew all the sins that the Bible lists, right? You begin to identify things in your life as saying, that's the old way, that's death. And now coming to Christ, I see there's life. And I have power in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. You were at one point fulfilling the lust of the flesh, ignorant of its power over you. However, now that the idea here is that we would now, instead of filling ourselves with the flesh and the things that are lust of the flesh, we'd be preoccupied with the things of the Spirit, the things of God. And you will not find fulfilling the desire of the flesh so appealing any longer, is the idea. That I will walk in the Spirit so that the things of the flesh are properly identified, and I actually enjoy living the life that is fulfilled by the living in the Spirit. We should not be content to allow the struggles of the flesh to be there any longer, to hold sway over our life that is lived for the Lord. Holy Spirit is more than sufficient to guide us. And I think maybe some of you read that passage, maybe like me, and you see this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But wait a minute. What happens when I do, right? What happens when I do? And I want to hit that in just a moment here. But what I want you to see here is God has done the most loving thing possible. When we felt like there was no chance, he gave us a chance. Listen, he put his spirit within us. The most loving thing possible. That he would dwell with us and be in us and instruct our hearts. Think about it. The best thing he could have done is to remove us out of that life of sin and give us a chance to live for him. Amen? Okay. So now he dwells within us. And as Christians, we know this. We kind of know this theologically, but we should know it practically as well, that the Spirit living in us is the most loving thing that God could do as he begins to shape and mold us into the image of his Son. And I will just say, it's all out war. When that happens, when the Spirit comes to live within us, we identify that sin, and we yet desire that sin, it becomes an all-out war in our daily lives. I know that you've tasted it. I know that you know that it's there. Even the most seasoned veteran Christian would be able to properly identify. I came to the Lord, there was joy and excitement, and that was like, oh, fulfilling. And life goes on, things creep back into my life again, and I have to battle it on a daily basis. Whether that's the things that come from my mouth or the things that come from my mind or the things that come from my heart. It's an all-out war. It's not like the easy life, right? It's not the easy life. That every day I go to war over the things of my flesh. And listen to what he says in verse 17. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. Lusts against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What is the flesh? It's our human nature within its frailties and its physical and mental and moral passions, carnality, its weakness. That's our flesh. And I will just tell you, while the old man is dead, we know that from Romans, the old man is dead, this flesh still exists in each one of us. And I think we can all relate to that battle that he's talking about. Listen to the strong, these two things are contrary, the flesh and the spirit. They're contrary to each other. They war against each other. Jesus knew this. At one point, he says to his disciples, and I think some of you will remember this, right? His disciples had fallen asleep. He'd asked them to pray. And what has he said to them? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's so true. It's like what he's saying to them in that situation is, guys, I know you wanted to stay up and pray for me. I know that's your heart's intention, your desire. You wanted to be there for me like I had asked you to. But this flesh, it's weak. And it's at times contrary to the spirit. And so Paul lays this out for us very clearly, that there's this battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. There's almost like two captains at work trying to take territory over your soul, right? That wants control, that wants to sit on the throne. And it's this battle that goes back and forth. Listen to what he says, and look at 17 again, 17b. It says, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So that you do not do the things that you wish. Interesting, because the desire of the person that Paul is writing to is the things of God. This person wishes the things of God. I want to do what God's called me to do. My spirit is strong. It's strong. And yet he says, listen, so that you do not do the things that you wish, that you desire. The flesh reigns in on that parade. And I would just say this, if those are things that God desires for you and you desire because of who you are in God, then when we say, listen, I'm going to allow the flesh to win in my life, in this situation, then we're actually keeping God out of the equation. We're allowing the flesh to win, preventing the spirit to win within us, preventing the spirit to take the rightful place on the throne, preventing the spirit's work in our life when we say, I choose this captain, the captain of flesh, over the captain of the spirit in my life. When I allow the weakness of my flesh to be like given strength, then I am preventing God from doing that work in my life that he wants to do. Paul said this, right? You remember this in Romans 7, 18. For I know, and I know there's different opinions on Romans chapter 7. If you're like, I don't know those opinions, it's deep. It's so deep. We don't have time for that tonight. There's some people that argue that Paul is still unsaved when he writes Romans 7. Others argue, because they can relate so well to it, that he is saved. But that's neither here nor there. Just listen to what he says in Romans 7, 18. For I know that in me, that's in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. In other words, I want to do what's good, but I can't find it within me. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And I would just say, whatever your opinion is on that, just to give some idea that the flesh has some control and some power, right? That the flesh at times causes us to do that thing we didn't want to do. I don't want to do it. And yet the flesh, in its weakness, allows us or moves us to that point of doing it. The things that you wish. God, I want to do the things that you wish, and this thing keeps me from that. We must learn to starve the flesh and feed the spirit, right? How many of you have heard that before? Starve the flesh and feed the spirit. In other words, if I'm trying to weaken the flesh in my life, the thing that the weakness that I have, then I better not feed it. Don't do the things that feed the flesh. Why? Because it will grow in strength in my life. And as a believer, especially as someone who's called on the name of Jesus and is saved, the last thing we want to do is to render ourselves ineffective for the kingdom, ineffective for Christ, disqualify ourselves from co-worker ministry, from church ministry, from any type of ministry to our families, because we have spent a lifetime of feeding the flesh instead of doing what we should have been doing, which is starving it. And on the flip side of that, I do want to feed the things of the Spirit within me. If the Holy Spirit is within me, the living God, the triune God, the third person of the Trinity, if he's really willing to live within this, then God, I want to feed this. I want to give the right things to the right places. And so I would just say, and this is something, man, church, that we got to be very careful of. As we're surrounded by the things that oftentimes are of the flesh, right? Sinful things, things that we ought not be a part of. The temptation is always there to enter in. Always. It's always going to be there forever until the day that Christ return or one of us or all of us go home to be with the Lord. That temptation will always be there. And that war that battles back and forth between the spirit and the flesh will always be there. It's not going to leave us. So then the question has to be, which one in my life am I going to give preference to? Which one am I going to feed? And how much am I going to just live with that little tiny sin that nobody cares about or knows about? Or the thing that comes out of my mouth when I talk to someone else and it's not flattering to the Lord and it's not flattering to me or to that person, but yet I just got to say it, right? I got to speak it out of my mouth and it's offensive, but how long am I going to allow that to be fed in my life? And at some point, I would just say this, am I walking with the Spirit if I'm allowing those things to continue to influence my life? Am I walking in the Spirit if I'm continuing to allow the flesh to gain control of my life? Whatever that looks like for any of us. I don't know, right? That's a great question. Look at quickly on verse 18, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And that directs really right back to the idea that he's trying to show these guys, listen, the law was parameters. There's no power in the law. The power is in the Spirit. Don't live in the law. Live in the Spirit, right? That's his point there. He's making that point. But I love what Skip Heitzig says. The flesh will seek personal gratification. The flesh will always seek personal gratification. Always. The Spirit will always seek spiritual glorification. The Spirit will always try to elevate Christ. In all areas of your life, what does Christ say? What does the Word of God say? Elevating God, whereas, and this is you and me at times, we've got to fight against that. I want to satisfy myself. I'm going to always try to look to satisfy myself. I have to be careful of that nature within me. And now Paul gives us in verse 19 a look at what this looks like. And it's not pretty. I'll just tell you, it's not pretty. Listen to what verse 19 says. These are the evidence of the workings of the flesh. He says this in 19. Now, the work of the flesh are evident or obvious, which are, and this adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Now, it's going to get personal here. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, I could keep going, right? I could keep going, and maybe you could add some to that list. He's writing very clearly to the Galatians. This is probably stuff that's happening in the church or around the church. And he's saying, listen, this is what the flesh looks like as it imparts or acts out into your life. Now, I don't know. Maybe you would look at one of those things and say, oh, that's me, right? I wrestle with that. That's what I have a problem with. And then we're in trouble because look what he says next, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Who are the people who are in danger here? Who is he talking to? And I would just say those who practice these things on a continual basis, regularly. This means that you could fall in a certain area. You could seek forgiveness. You can receive forgiveness from the Lord. God is gracious and good and loving and kind and desires that relationship with you. But I don't know how else to put it in that he's saying, listen, if you practice such things on a continual basis, be careful. That's playing with fire. Here's the two problems. Number one, you don't know the Lord, right? There's a potential of that. That the Spirit, those that don't know the Lord don't have the Spirit within them, don't have the Spirit convicting them or moving them closer to Christ. There is a danger in that for sure. That could be one of the problems. The second problem could be that I have two things. One, quieted the voice of God in my life so quietly, hardened my heart so much that when I commit these things that he's listed here, I don't even care. I'll just keep showing up here and listening to the Bible studies and praising God. But I don't care really, honestly, because these sins, what are they? Right? I'm good. That's a problem. That could be a problem. Amen. Can I just get an amen? Amen. I know that's a scary thought, but it could be a problem that I've hardened my heart so much to the things of God because it's just become a repetitive cycle in my life that I just keep doing it and nobody cares. I don't care. God probably doesn't care, but I'm thinking he does, right? Because his saying is walk in the Spirit. And I don't know how you can hold on to one of these things. I don't think I can hold on to one of these things and continue to do what he's saying, which is to walk in the Spirit. The other thought is that if you're a Christian and you said, these are me, that we're just could be just ignoring his voice. It just God, I don't want to hear it. I'm in this place right now. You know where I'm at. So I'm just going to do it. I'm going to keep doing it. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone, God. I think that's a dangerous spot. Over time, as we feed that flesh more and more and more, instead of just turning to him and repenting and saying, God, please forgive me of this sin. I don't want to do it. You know my heart. My flesh is weak. God, I surrender this over to you. And instead of me continually to feed the flesh in this area, God, I'm going to start feeding the Spirit in this area. I'm going to start walking with you. I'm going to wake up every morning and I'm going to walk with you. And God, if that's been a hard thing in my life to do that, God, I'm going to start doing it now. I'm just going to keep walking in your holiness. It doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm not going to have this perpetual thing holding me back from the things that you would have for me. He says this, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What? And it's in the Word of God. I mean, that's not in the Word of Jeff or the Word of Bill, right? He's saying, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does he even mean? It's got to mean that if I'm sincerely and walking in the Spirit, then those things that I desire of the flesh, they're going to start to die out in my life. And the desire to do those things will grow weak and dim to the point of they will not be identified of who I am. Why do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Why do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit's job is to move me closer to the image of Christ. Instead, listen to what he says. This is the life of the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, listen to this. This is what we want. bucketfuls, barrel loads full. Give me more of this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As I looked at this, I thought, those are harder to get, right? Those seem harder for me just to do. The other ones, they seem so much easier. The line between that is so hard. This is harder. And the truth of the matter is, you and I can't just go get these things, right? That love doesn't always just come naturally. Joy doesn't come naturally. Peace, that does not come naturally. I don't think for any of us. Long suffering when we don't want to, and it's, I'm just going to be there for you, and I'm going to care for you, and you're annoying me, but I'm going to love you, right? That's not easy. These things, this is the hard thing, right? That these things don't come easy. In fact, you can't earn or try to get these on your own or just get up tomorrow and try to do better at these. You know what these come from? Walking in the Spirit. Walking with the Spirit. And the Spirit is the one that will change you over time to be more like these nine things that he's listed here. This is the evidence, the thumbprint, the marking that God has been there in a person's life when these things begin to grow and develop within you. And so as you look at those list of nine, you think, man, where am I at, Lord? I feel sometimes like I'm stuck, and God, I want to grow in these nine areas. I want to grow in the things of you. They come by walking by the Spirit. And however, I believe we do not have the role to grow these things. We do have an action item here, and this is we'll close tonight. Look at verse 24. Says this, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. David Guzik, he's a Calvary pastor guy, great Bible guy. He says he could have used a different word there. He could have used killed. You've killed the flesh, right? But he uses the word crucified to liken it back to Christ and what Christ had done for us on the cross, that we would always remember that Christ did this amazing work for us so that we could walk in the Spirit, so that we could be with him, that we could walk with him, yes, eternally, but here even now. It reminds us of the death of the flesh that is painful. And the death of the flesh is painful, right? That the thing that we prevent ourselves, that we withhold ourselves, it's almost like at times we go through withdrawals on certain things, like, God, I want to go back to that. I want to go back. No, no, no. And that's a painful transition. God, I want to say that to her. God, I want to just speak that out, right? I want to, I'm so angry, and I just want to, no. But the flesh wants to do it because it'll make it feel so good, right? God, I really just want to say this one thing about her or him, I just want to say it, and it's going to make me feel so good if I could just get that off my chest, right? That's the flesh, right? And it's painful when we don't do it because it's the natural, easy thing for us to do. But when we withhold and we say, God, I'm not that person. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm not going to gratify that. I'm not going to feed that. And over time, you know what's going to happen? That's going to die, right? That desire that we feed, it's going to eventually just die out. Not because we're great, because God is good. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit, verse 25. If we have been saved by Christ, if the Spirit dwells within us, if we live in the Spirit, let us then walk in the Spirit. And that idea of walk is different than the first walk, right? Two different Greek words there. The first walk was like general over your life, walk in the Spirit. This is like walk in line with. Two different walks. So this is like, hey, get in step with the Spirit. Walk with him. So tomorrow morning, when you wake up, when I wake up, we need to say this, God, I want to walk with you today. I want to be in your presence. I want to walk according to your Spirit. I don't want to feed my flesh, Lord. I want to feed the things that are of you, the good things of you, because I want to grow in you, and I'm tired of dealing with this flesh stuff, right? I want to walk in line with you today. So God, help me today to do that. So I'm going to be in the Word. I'm going to be sensitive to his voice. I'm going to pray against those things that I struggle with. God, lead me not into temptation. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, lead me to you. I'm going to stop feeding the flesh today. I'm going to make it a point that every time that flesh comes knocking, I'm going to identify it and I'm going to send it to the Lord. God, save me from this. I don't want it anymore. And tonight, if this is me, I'm going to repent and I'm going to confess, trusting that God is good, that God loves me, and that he's provided a way for me to spend eternity with him and to walk with him forever. That the message that I hear is if I'm struggling with any one of those, I think it was 18 things, 19 things, yeah, the list could go on, then God, I'm just turning that over to you. I'm confessing it before you, and I'm turning my life over to you, even if it's I'm turning my life over to you again. Right? It could be for the first time, praise God. It could be, hey, I'm so sick of this. What Jeff said about the treadmill walking, that's me over and over, repetitive cycle. I'm turning that over to you tonight. God, it's yours. Take it from me. Let's pray. God, tonight, absolutely 100%. Any good thing that comes from your word is because of your spirit working within us. And maybe some tonight for the first time, ready to get serious about some of the things that have come into their life that they would just say have prevented them from walking with you, from walking in your spirit. And I believe there's never too late of a time here on the face of this earth to just turn to you and say, God, I know you're good. God, I know you love me. I know through Christ you provided a way for me to walk with you. Yes, now and for eternity. And I have simply only to say, God, I confess you. I confess Christ before you. I know that I can't do it on my own. So God, I turn to you and I ask, starting tonight and on through tomorrow morning, I want to walk in your spirit. And I'm going to do some things in my life that are different than before because I believe that you've called me to grow in the fruits of the spirit, to love you more. Lord, I pray that you would do that work here tonight. Thank you for your time, Lord. I pray that you would just cover this place with your Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.